The city famous for celebrating Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday is getting ready for another one the day before Lent next Tuesday.
Going back home, see my name, and never will I wrong. Gonna get my bills at that 8-2-8, cause you are on in my home.
A little Dr. John to set the mood, which is what New Orleanians are doing right now. They're eating king cakes, dressing up for fancy balls, getting ready to make their brandy milk punch. Poppy Tooker is a native New Orleanian and host of the public radio program Louisiana Eats. She joins us from WWNO in New Orleans. Poppy, welcome, and we are so jealous of you.
You should be jealous because I live in New Orleans where everybody wants to live.
Well, and eats. Describe a king cake. Someone brought it into the office here. And at first glance, from a distance, I thought it was mold on the cake.
Oh, no.
But it's not. Describe it.
No, not at all. There's two distinct kinds of king cake. There's the traditional one that came from France, which is called the Gâteau du Roi. And it is a puff pastry, round, looks pretty tame. But a New Orleans-style king cake is usually crescent-shaped and covered with crunchy purple, green, and gold sugar, and nowadays often filled with only God knows what.
Purple, green, gold?
Purple, green, and gold. Those are the colors of Mardi Gras.
There you go. What's the basis of the cake?
It's sort of a brioche sort of a dough. Sometimes it's braided, sometimes it's not. When I was a child, we only had one kind of king cake, and it was a pretty basic brioche dough, a little cinnamon flavor, no fillings, and that crunchy. That's what I still really love is when you take a bite of the king cake and you get that crunch of the sugar between your teeth. There's something really yummy there.
The thing I thought was mold was not. It was delicious.
No.
Well, why king cake? Why is it called that? Why have it?
Well, it's a tradition that began in France. And in France, those poor folks only eat king cake on January 6th, which is King's Day, the Epiphany. Mm. You know, French Catholics in France, French Catholics in New Orleans were all the same. When it came to New Orleans, it got a life of its own. And by the late 1800s, there were Mardi Gras balls. In particular, on January 6th, the season kicks off with Twelfth Night. And it's a big debutante, fancy ball where there's girls who all get a slice of cake, and one of them gets the gold bean, and she's the queen for the night.
Whoa, gold bean. remind us what the gold bean is.
Well, that's a favor. That indicates, you know, it's funny. It evolved from the gold bean to, by the late 40s, early 50s, there were these little porcelain baby dolls that were coming from occupied Japan, and they represented the baby Jesus. So you got the baby doll, you had to buy the next king cake, began the tradition, or have the next king cake party. And of course, time rolls on, the baby turns into plastic, and nowadays king cakes have taken such a life of their own that one of my favorite places, Cochon Butcher, they make the Elvis king cake, which, of course, is marshmallow fluff, peanut butter, bananas. And instead of a baby, they have a little rubber baby pig.
Oh, jeez. Well, hopefully, whether it's the baby Jesus or the pig, you don't bite into it and choke on it when you're eating
the king
cake.
Well, you know, that's just a bunch of foolishness, Robin. I'm going to tell you what, okay? Because in recent times, they've stopped baking the favor into the king cake because of a choking hazard. Sometimes I think there's too much litigation.
Oh, I was kidding. I was kidding, but
no, that's pretty serious these days. There's a huge debate. It was in the Wall Street Journal. Why is there no baby in the king cake?
Well, because of lawsuits. Okay. Or the fear of lawsuits. Well, so there's the king cake. And we've only started to touch on what's happening. You talked about the balls. What other kind of food is prepared for Mardi Gras?
Well, there's a great deal of casual Mardi Gras that goes on that doesn't have to do with elbow-length kid gloves and long dresses. There are parades that happen all over the city where people have these outdoor picnics on the medians that we call neutral grounds. And you can walk up and down the medians and you'll see fried chicken, You'll see whole pigs, cochon de lait, on spits, turning on barbecue pits, huge cauldrons of cast iron filled with jambalaya, and lots and lots of cocktails.
Well, tell us about the Brandy Milk Punch.
Well, you know, this is the breakfast of champions. On Mardi Gras Day, we begin the day 7 a.m. or so. We're looking for Rex, the king of carnival, to come up St. Charles Avenue. And to prepare for that, we have a brandy milk punch. It's in just your plastic gallon milk carton, but you can shake it up and pour it into plastic cups because, you know, we can drink outside in New Orleans. And we toast Rex and we have a delicious deviled egg, and that's how we start the day on Mardi Gras Day.
Deviled eggs cut across the middle. But the brandy,
that's right.
Yeah, the brandy milk punch, brandy milk, powdered sugar, a little vanilla.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of brandy. And the powdered sugar is one of my secrets to it because you shake it up and it gives the drink a little body. So it'll have a head, just like it was a fine cocktail served to you in a bar.
Is it true that cocktails were invented in New Orleans?
It is absolutely true. They were invented by an apothecary who came here from Haiti, and his name was Antoine Amédée Peychaud. He invented Peychaud's bitters, and that's even how the drink gets its name, because he would serve, you know, after a rough night out, his patrons would come to the apothecary. He'd give them a little brandy and a little of his bitters in a coquetier, which is the French word for that egg cup, that double-sided egg cup that looks much like a two-sided jigger that you'll see on a bar today.
Huh.
And so they would have that little shot and go off feeling better in their stomach. But the Americans, who were very resistant to speaking French, they couldn't say coquetier. So they turned it into cocktail. Eventually it became cocktail, and
that.
The drink was invented here.
Well, look at that. Poppy Tooker, you're filled with so much information, but as we look at Mardi Gras approaching, and we are not lucky enough to be there, just give us some more tips on cooking New Orleans style. You say gumbo, never put fish, just shellfish?
No fish in gumbo.
Oh,
I couldn't believe that. No,
You
can put almost anything in gumbo, but I have to tell you, I've never seen fin fish.
Oh.
You can put shrimp and crabs. Often there's pork sausage, beef sausage, smoked sausage, ham hocks, pickled pork tips. Almost anything can go in a gumbo, and the more the better. It's a hearty meal, and, you know, we're looking for a big meaty meal before that fasting starts on Ash Wednesday.
And Lent. You say if you go and haven't got your cooking equipment with you, McCarty's can fry 100 pieces of fried chicken in an hour for each individual.
It is the most amazing thing. You know, there's a single store, of course, you know, in New Orleans. We all love our Popeye's chicken, and you'll see those boxes up and down the parade route. But for those in the know, there's McCarty's Fried Chicken on North Broad, where you place a phone call, and you walk out with 100-150 pieces of perfectly fried hot chicken. And I'm not even going to tell you how cheap it is, because I don't want to make everybody jealous.
And that's where people in the know in New Orleans go. Poppy Tooker, again, a native New Orleanian, host of the public radio program Louisiana Eats, talking about how New Orleans is going to be eating at Mardi Gras. Poppy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Happy Mardi Gras.
Same to you. Let the good times roll. Let the bone, what is it?
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
There you go. Okay.